With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Numbers. And as always, I am Ben, my partner here. This is Will.
What's up?
So, real quick, we're just going to roll into baseball. We're going to talk about what has been going on in the playoffs real quick. We're not going to spend a lot of time. We're just going to do a quick recap. So, we're going to go ahead and knock this out. Obviously, we are getting into the game twos being wrapped up for the second round of the playoffs. Current recap right now, Toronto's over New York 2-0 in the series after a very beautiful victory. Granted, the Yankees played well. So, I mean, all around, 20 points were scored in that game yesterday. But 13-7, a very confident victory. Seattle made a comeback on that, got themselves a game in there and tied the series up 1-1. Of course, tonight we have, as of currently, the Dodgers and the Phillies playing. The Dodgers did win game one. We shall see how game two goes. We shall see. And then the Brewers, with no doubt, took game one and will probably honestly take game two. Imanaga versus Ashby when it comes to the pitchers. Ashby's much better, in my opinion, and I think he will do really well. So,
I think the Cubs got it tonight.
You think the Cubs are taking game two? Okay. I don't know. I wouldn't say that it's impossible. I'm all for it. I think the further we go into the playoffs, the better the series, the better the overall, the better content you get, the better baseball is. However, I still believe the Brewers are going to want to take in this series. We shall see about the Dodgers and the Phillies. I still stand on Seattle taking it. Granted, it was a tough game against Detroit in game two after losing in game one.
But it was screwball.
Yeah.
It was screwball.
Exactly.
You know, what was going to happen?
Exactly. I'm with you on that. So, but
Big Blanco, two homers on screwball on his head top.
Indeed. Indeed. Toronto, I think they're going to finish out. They may not sweep New York, but at this point, I could almost see it. I really have faith in them. They only need, one more game, best of five. So they get this win on Tuesday. It'll be a wrap for them. So I'd love to see it, but that's all I've got on baseball. You got anything else for baseball, sir?
Love my Dodgers.
Okay.
And for the Yankee fans, I told you so.
Right there with you. Honestly, the Red Sox should have took that, but it is what it is. Okay. So, guys, football was completely unexpected this week, I feel like. We said it was going to be a quiet week, and in my opinion, sir, we were wrong. There were some amazing games.
I don't think we were wrong, per se. There were some good games, you know.
But it wasn't epic. Maybe it wasn't so much that it was noisy in the matchups, but a lot of these games were really good. I mean, I want to start off with the Vikings and the Browns. 21-17. Dylan Gabriel came in and he balled out, you know, for being his first start against a tough defense. I mean, better than Joe Flacco, in my opinion.
Definitely better than Joe Flacco. I told you they should have never started Joe Flacco in the first place. But let's be clear, No, ain't no well veteran this, experience that.
Yeah.
I ain't hearing it.
I still stand
they should
by
have
it.
Never started. They should have never started that man in the first place. But Dillon Gabriel, while he had a good game, I'm not trying to knock him for it. It wasn't the best. That had a little to do with Dillon Gabriel and a lot to do with the Browns defense.
Well, the Browns defense was good, but I will say that their offense. Well, let me refrain from saying it was really Judkins who. I'm not Judkins. That it was Gabriel that had a great game, although. 2 touchdowns and 109 yards. No interceptions ain't bad, but Judkins, man.
Now, if you would have said Judkins, I would have agreed.
My only problem with him, and you may disagree, but for as good as he did, granted, he moved the chains a lot, and that's one of the things about him that I liked. But as far as that goes, he did not get a single touchdown. And that is a problem when you are a team like Cleveland who desperately needs to find something that's working now. I like David Njoku. He did really well. I liked Jerry Jeudy. You know, they both played really well. And I think that right there is a big reason for their success. However, let's be clear, not a single person got over, made it to 30 yards except for Njoku. There was just a lack of moving the ball through the air. They had a clean game overall, no interceptions. They didn't fumble the ball any. They really, honestly, I mean, they got 3 sacks. Like, their defense did exactly what their defense needed to do, even though it was a subpar performance in some aspects in regards to forcing turnovers. But Gabriel did okay. He only got sacked twice. But, I mean, he threw for 190 yards. Here's the thing. He's starting out with you know, a couple of weeks into week 5, and he's going up against the Vikings. And the Vikings defense is usually a very difficult defense to play. Carson Wentz did not have a terrible game. It was average. He did get sacked 3 times. That was a big part of that. Mason had a touchdown. Really, he was the only person that did much of anything on the ground. You know what really surprised me, though, was the fact that Jefferson had 7 catches for 123 yards, but yet not a single touchdown. There was 2 fumbles. Both were lost. That's painful. Mason having that fumble didn't help. TJ Hawkinson was relatively quiet. Addison had a couple of catches. He got a touchdown. Oliver had 2 catches. He got a touchdown. Like, honestly,
I have no clue why that surprised you, sir.
Well,
Justin Jefferson did the exact same thing last year. Whole bunch of yardage. One of the greatest receivers in yardage. No tutties, though. He didn't get in that end zone like that. And well, annoyingly, because he was the main target in the end zone.
Right, right. I'm not saying that it surprises me entirely that he didn't get a touchdown, like, because it's a good defense. But, like, he lit it up, and yet he never found the end zone. And, yes, he does kind of have a habit of it. But I guess I kind of figured with the amount of catches he got and the yardage he got in relation to literally the rest of his team, I guess I thought maybe considering nobody else even cracked 50 yards, even Addison made only 41 yards.
Sir, did you watch the game?
I did. I watched the game.
First things first, Addison was benched for the entire first quarter. He didn't play in the first quarter. And he came in, I think, in the second, and he only got like 1 target.
Right.
So he didn't actually do anything until the second half. And that's when he actually got, I think he got like 2 more targets in the second half. One of the
he wound up getting 5 catches for like 41 yards and or 49.
So 2 or 3 catches, and he caught one of those for a touchdown. But
right, like
Justin Jefferson, on the other hand, he got targeted multiple times in the end zone. They just didn't run the correct play.
Jefferson is definitely their yardage guy. He's the guy that gets down the field. He's the guy that makes the plays.
Yeah, at a certain point, I was saying, like, target somebody else. I think he targeted Justin Jefferson pretty much the entire first quarter. It was all Justin Jefferson catching footballs.
Well,
he only tossed it down. He only only time he didn't toss it to Justin was when he was handing it off to Mason.
Well, I think in that aspect, Carson Wentz is a number one guy. He likes his number one, and he wants to force it repeatedly. So I'm not surprised. Again, though, because of that style of quarterback play, I expected him to get in the end zone. But again, the Cleveland defense is not a weak defense by any stretch. So,
only good thing about him.
Yeah, we'll see.
Myles Garrett is a real unit.
You know, Myles Garrett has stuck it out in Cleveland, and he's played really, really hard for them. And, man, they need to give him somebody on offense that will do something. Or, like I said in a previous episode, let Myles Garrett run. Let him take the ball and get a tutty. So.
Moving on, sir.
Yeah.
Vikings
yeah.
deserve that win. Browns, even I though just, they almost took it.
They did almost.
The Vikings definitely deserve that win.
All right. I want to talk on the Cowboys and Jets real briefly. Honestly, I expected it to go this way. The Cowboys just in.
I thought it would be more back and forth, honestly.
I did not. Honestly, it wasn't until the fourth quarter, and that's garbage time. That's garbage time for sure. Dak Prescott is looking really good right now. Four touchdowns, no picks. Javonte Williams, I had him on a parlay, sir. He got me something. Unfortunately, I didn't hit because everybody else decided to drop the ball. Some of them literally. But Javonte Williams got himself a tutty. Flournoy is having him had himself a game. He may have not got a touchdown, but he got himself some yards. Overall, like, Dallas did what Dallas does. I'm rather okay with this. There's not much to really say. Pickens got himself a nice touchdown. He only had two catches, but he played good. Ferguson did well. I guess, like I said, Flournoy did really well. Ferguson got two tutties, though. Crazy. But Ferguson is really good as a tight end, so not entirely surprised, I guess. Really, Dallas just had a clean game. And when we really look at this, we're not looking at it from Dallas did anything wrong. They just did everything right. And the Jets, they just – five sacks, man. For a defense that has been struggling to find its feet, it did find its feet against the Jets. Breece Hall, you know, even Fields, he ran seven times but got 26 yards. I mean, yeah, Hall had that fumble. Garrett Wilson did get the touchdown, one of them. Beck got the other one. The rest of the guys, they caught the ball, but, like, honestly, they just – nobody could get themselves into the end zone. That fumble they lost didn't help. They just really didn't – they just really just didn't do enough. I think the problem is the Jets are – for Fields coming back and going up against Dallas, it's just got to be scary. Like, I, it's tough. And that team is a team that is spiraling. After that opening week loss, it's just looked nothing but bad for the Jets. I do not predict the Jets to win more than two or three games by the end of the year. Maybe I'll say maybe four. Safely four games the Jets might win by the end of the year. So the Cowboys did everything right. The Jets could have done more. Definitely would have been better, but unfortunately, I mean, just because they have 22 points doesn't mean a lot because 16 of those came in the fourth quarter. Garbage time touchdowns, in my opinion, are great for padding your stats, but when you're a team like the Jets, I would say you guys need to be doing more than padding your stats in the fourth unless you have a magnificent lead. They should have been playing better the first three quarters. But as always, games are won in the second half, and, well, the Jets just didn't come to win.
Agreed. I like I said, I expected it to be more back and forth. Justin Fields, he threw for 283 yards. That, I mean, it's impressive. And he had two touchdowns, even though they came in the fourth quarter. I mean, if we're talking about another touchdown, then we might have been talking about another game here.
Well, here's my problem, though. Dak Prescott threw for 237 yards and four touchdowns. So when you talk about yardage, you know, yeah, if this was a different team that they were going up against, sure, good performance. 22 points, enough to get them a win. They could have beat a few of the other teams if they would have played him this week. But the Cowboys came to play because the Cowboys have a lot to still prove, and a lot of people are doubting them because they haven't had the best start.
For excellent reasons.
Agreed. The whole Micah Parsons thing for sure. But the only thing I'm going to give them is that for the most part, they have found their footing on offense. They just haven't on defense. And this was a good game to do so. Those two touchdowns in the fourth quarter, if this would have been a tight game, I would say it's something to be concerned about. But when you're playing in a huge lead with a big lead, they only put up a touchdown. So they were at 30 points going into the fourth quarter, whereas the Jets were at 6. So when you're up 30-6 going into the fourth, you don't have to worry too much as long as your defense does enough. Hold the drives out, make them burn time. Don't let them get down the field on quick plays. And just allow. So sometimes it's better to give up the touchdown, right? When you have that big lead and it's just enough time that maybe you have to watch for them to make a comeback and you have to make sure your offense executes. They put up that touchdown. They got themselves a little bit of insurance. That is exactly what Dallas needed to do. Their defense did exactly what they needed to do that entire game. They gave up a field goal in the first quarter, held them scoreless in the second quarter, gave up a field goal in the third quarter. The only quarter that they had where they didn't even get at least one touchdown was the first quarter, and they put up a field goal. First quarter to me is one of the most pointless quarters of football, other than you're just establishing what your game plan is. And the second quarter, you begin to execute. Because honestly, most teams generally only have maybe two drives at most in the first quarter, depending on how bad the teams are and yada, yada, yada. Sometimes you can see more, but generally speaking, the first quarter, whether you score a lot, like you score a touchdown or not, isn't necessarily relevant to the entirety of the game. First quarters is more offense than defense, or if your offense is just that bad, then, well, you're probably not going to win the game. But the Cowboys proved something, I think, that they're very much a competitive team. I do think that they should be concerned about putting up 20 points in the second quarter. Granted, they were up 23-3 at that point, but then you slow down to a touchdown per quarter for the rest of the game. If Dallas went going into half, I would have said, okay, yeah, we obviously want to start thinking about time management, but I would have still probably wanted to put a little bit of pressure and score a little bit more just to ensure that you don't let Justin Fields do his thing. That whole week one game against Pittsburgh, I think, is bogus. That performance that happened, I think, was more of Rodgers having to get his footing with Pittsburgh. It was them getting into rhythm, finding out what was going to work and what wasn't. And then Rodgers did what Rodgers does. And he went vintage, classic, turn it around, I'm going to steamroll you. And the rest of the team responded to that. That game is the only game that the Jets have looked good in. This was a garbage time turnaround. That's just all that that is, in my opinion.
All right, moving on, sir.
Indeed. Broncos and Eagles. You know what?
I called this one.
Yep. I'm going to let you talk on this one, sir.
The Broncos definitely came in there. I'm not going to lie. They had me a little bit scared for a second. You know, they were letting Dallas go off just a tad bit. But fourth quarter, they came in and showed exactly why Philly isn't the team this year. It doesn't matter. They're literally a team that can only do one thing, and that's run it up your neck. If you let them do that, they win the game immediately. But Jalen Hurts doesn't use that arm, and I'm sorry, that is never gonna work for me. If I got a quarterback, I'd rather you be a throwing quarterback than a scrambling or anything. Throw the ball, bro. You got open receivers out there, and you're still just running the ball. Even when Saquon's out there looking for a route, you decide that it's time for you to just go crazy and run. That's never going to work. And Bo Nix came in, and under immense pressure, by the way, because they really didn't score until the fourth quarter. There were no touchdowns scored by the Broncos until the fourth.
Yeah, they put up 18 points in that fourth quarter. It's crazy.
Insanity. And they just went, and Philly had no answer for them. This is the problem. I have a huge problem with Philly, with the Eagles right now, specifically because they do not have any depth. And they're showing that. They have nothing in their playbook to actually answer for anything else other than, let's run it. We got two of the best duos. Let's run it. And that's never going to work. It's why the Ravens started losing last year. Nobody realized why it happened, but I did. I watched the first three games. First three games, perfect. Why? Derrick Henry had like three touchdowns apiece in all of them. Literally, he had like two or three in all of the first two, three games. One, two, three, and it was all Derrick Henry. It was the Derrick Henry show. Game four came around. They stopped Henry. They won the game. I forgot who they went up against, but they lost that that next game. And Derrick Henry didn't have a single touchdown in it.
Right. There's one thing I think is a really telling tell about what happened to Philly. First and foremost, that offensive line was just straight trash. They gave up six sacks. Jalen Hurts, honestly, with six sacks, Jalen Hurts did fine. His passing wise, he was on point. Honestly, his defense let him down. Granted, you know, when you look at the score line and you see it for what it is, like, yeah, they should have done more. And in the end, again, second half is where the games are won. That's what happened. But Saquon ran the ball six times. Hurts only ran the ball twice. They didn't run. In fact, really, if we're being frank here, they only had 45 rushing yards, sir, on 11 total attempts. They passed.
How about that Broncos defense? I love it.
That Broncos defense forced them to throw. Devonta Smith had a phenomenal game, but again, didn't get in the end zone. Barkley had three catches for 58 yards. He got himself a touchdown. Goedert got himself 3 for 19, but he got himself a touchdown. Did not start him in fantasy. Glad I didn't. Almost did. He did okay. But, you know, when I'm looking at these players, honestly, like A.J. Brown, 5 for 43. Like, bro, this dude needs to eat, and they keep on ignoring him more and more. But he threw the ball to Smith. That's it. He didn't hardly throw to anybody else. And
he only he does not use that arm, sir. He is not using that arm. And every time he does, the Phillies show exactly why they're not that team.
My only thing, the reason this game went the way this did, and I stand on this, is gonna be the fact that the Broncos defense got six sacks. Looking at the Broncos, J.K. Dobbins did what J.K. Dobbins needed to do. He ran the ball 20 times. It's a perfect 20. 79 yards. I mean, not that great. He got himself in the end zone. Bo Nix had a couple of little rushes. But, I mean, everybody got the ball for the most part. He spread the ball around. Of course, Sutton got eight catches, but he only got 99 yards. I mean, everybody got the ball. They all generally got the same amount of yardage. Like, only one touchdown. He didn't throw any interceptions. He only got sacked twice. I mean, Bo Nix did less than what he needed to do, and they still won on the simple grounds that their offense played when it mattered. They had a couple of field goals that helped. I just, when I look at this, I don't see the Eagles losing this game because of the Broncos exactly. I see the Eagles losing this game because they just did not come to play. Like, I think they thought they were going to come into this game. Yeah, they knew they were going to take some pressure. But they came in, and you can see it by how the transition from the score lines, just where it went from the first, second, and third into the fourth. You can see where they just kind of finally were like, all right, we've got this in the bag. And then the Broncos capitalized. And that is where games are won in that second half. And definitely comebacks can be possible. Again, we just talked about the Jets. They could not do that because the Cowboys prevented it. The Eagles failed to score because if they would have scored in the fourth quarter, this would have been an Eagles victory. They got lax, they let the defense get to them, and they did not execute a good game plan. So,
once again, the Eagles are not that team for a multitude of reasons.
They're not repeating.
But their offense,
I don't believe they're repeating.
But their offense is, you know, it's what won them the Super Bowl last year, but it's not going to get them there this year. They might not even make the playoffs if they keep on playing. But moving on, I want to get into these Dolphins of mine, The game was going so good. We were doing so well up against the Panthers, and somehow, some way, we gave it up, man. We gave it up towards the end of the second half, really.
Yep. Fourth quarter comeback.
The Panthers, I tell you all the time, don't sleep on the Panthers. So this isn't the Panthers bash, but they definitely shouldn't have beat the Dolphins. The Dolphins had way more to them than meted the eye. And
no, there's a problem here with the Dolphins, sir.
There is a problem. I'm not arguing that point. I'm saying that there's way more to the Dolphins than what everybody wants to give. And with that being said, I definitely accept that this loss was all on them. Like,
for sure.
This wasn't the Panthers' win. This was the Dolphins'.
Here's my concern that I don't. McDaniels has a problem. Why in the world did you run the ball 14 times and get 19 yards? You ran the ball 14 times against the Panthers. You did the Panthers. They shouldn't. Your running back touched the ball out of the 14 attempts. He got 10 of them. 10 times with your star running back. Why? When I look at what Tua did, he got sacked 3 times, but that's not that crazy. He threw 3 touchdowns. Jalen Waddle, I told you without Tyreek, I think that man eats. Darren Waller is in here. He gets himself a tutty. Waddle has a tutty. Akane got himself a tutty. I mean, he caught the ball 6 times for 30 yards. So, I mean, he still contributed. But, like, I mean, dude got 46 total yards in that entire game?
16.
Why? Why are 16 you?
16 in rushing. That shit's crazy.
He got 16 in rushing and 30 in receiving. Why is that? How does that make sense? If you're a team that's leading, you're not managing the clock, which is something I've heard about McDaniels more than once. But, like, this is not Tua's fault. This is not. He did what he needed to do. Jalen Waddle did what he needed to do. They chose not to run the ball, so I don't leave it on Arcane too much here because, honestly, there were 14 attempts, one of which was by Tua. 3 of them equaled -2 for Gordon. 3 rushes, -2 yards. So it could have been 21 instead of 19. Or it could have been a 0. Or could have been. But why do you run 14 times? 14 times is on a light game for a running back when you're up an insane amount or you fall so far behind that you just don't run after that. Like, you don't. Running backs, like a star running back like him, he should be putting in 20 to 23 runs a game. There's no reason. 10 for 16. If he gave up on it and he said, okay, he's not getting the runs going. Okay. But my problem is 10 times. You ran 10 times, you got 16 yards, and is that, we're good. We're going to call it quits. We're going to focus on the air game. 10 times is not even enough to run more than a couple of times a quarter. You're literally just looking at the defense and saying, hey, cover our guys. Now, Waddle, he said, cover me. Go ahead, cover me. Watch what I'm about to do. That's what I said was going to happen. Waddle's going to go ham without Hill out there. Waller did well. I don't understand that problem. I don't get. How
it could be coaching, it could be morale, it could be
Bryce Young didn't
But they literally give up. They give up games.
They
do. It's not even funny anymore. This is another one of those bad losses for the Dolphins that I keep referring to. Like, they're not moving the way that they should as a star team. And I don't care what anybody says. My Dolphins are a star team. They would be competitive with the best of these teams, honestly, if there's a glitch in the matrix somewhere over there, and I need to fly to Miami or something.
I'm telling you,
we need to figure this out.
I think we should go down there and take over. I think we might have something. I just want to say, like, I can't put any faith in Miami after losing to Carolina like this. And it's not Tua's fault. Tua did everything right. No interceptions, 3 touchdowns. He didn't have to scramble much. In regards to, he only ran 1 time for like 5 yards. Like, Tua played a phenomenal game. However, Tua cannot do it by himself. The whole do it Tua, you know, do it to Tua is what really happened there. He was unable to do more because he really shouldn't have had to have. He done exactly what he should have done. Maybe they're not elite numbers, but 14 rush attempts is diabolical, as you like to say. And the defense failed to stop them in the fourth quarter. He threw a pick. Bryce Young did. He got sacked a couple of times. Dowdle went ham. The defense could not contain him. It's a flabbergasting moment to look at a game like this. Like, you know, the Broncos, Eagles, crazy enough. But, like, the same thing applies here, except the Panthers are terrible. The Broncos are not. The Panthers are. Bryce Young didn't do terrible, but he didn't do good either. Yet they were able to get the win over the Dolphins, who had established a somewhat respectable lead, and then they just blew it. They blew it in the worst way possible, and my faith in the Dolphins, unfortunately, is dwindling rapidly.
Believe in the Dolphins, and I'm not going to stop. But I am going to admit that there's a problem here. It's the same problem that I have with a lot of other teams, so I can't let my team skirt it. Tua, McDaniels, get it together. Once y'all do, I promise you we're going to have infinite dubs. All right, moving on into a game that I really loved to watch. And that would be the Lions and the Bengals.
Really?
Yeah, look, the Bengals started doing something towards the end.
I don't know what it is about these fourth quarters this week, but good Lord.
They started doing something, and I think it was mainly because the Lions got a little bit lazy. They already had 4 touchdowns on them.
But they put up 9 points in the fourth. So the Lions didn't necessarily quit. They just did enough to keep their lead from diminishing, and they kept it more than just like for every time the Bengals added, the Lions were putting something up on the board enough to keep making it just that extra score game, making it that extra drive. So like 21 points in the fourth quarter after doing basically nothing the whole game, the Lions did exactly what they needed to do. Maybe they should have done a little better on defense, but garbage time is garbage time whenever you have a guy like Jake Browning who threw 3 interceptions.
That was another sick one. But let's be clear, the Lions didn't convert on a whole bunch of them drives that they were supposed to. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a few times where they turned it over on downs, and there was no reason for it.
See,
when I think about this weaker Bengals team and their weaker defense and this monstrous offense for the Lions, yeah, you can go a couple of drives without scoring, but not as many as they did. There was a couple of times where they turned it over. They had to punt that ball. And there's no excuse for it, if I'm being honest. Yeah, I can go for a field goal, settling for a field goal, but they turned that ball over a couple times.
I mean, yeah, they punted five times, but I mean, my only.
I'm not saying every drive has to result in a touchdown, but yeah. Against that Bengals team right now, every drive should have resulted in something, especially when y'all had so many chances. Three INTs.
Well, here's the. I mean, yeah, I agree with you, but I think one thing that I'm gonna say is Detroit really didn't have a huge lead until the fourth quarter. It was the 14 points. The second half won them the game. They came out and they put up two touchdowns. Jared Goff did what he needed to do. He did exactly right. I mean, dude had 82.6% completion percentage. I mean, he was completing more than three out of four passes. So when three out of every four passes essentially is being completed, sometimes even four out of four, you're looking at a quarterback who's getting the ball moved consistently. He got 258 yards. So while he didn't necessarily ball out, he put up three touchdowns. He had a clean game. I mean, they ran the ball a lot, so they ate up time. Montgomery had himself a good game. He had a passing touchdown.
This isn't a shot against their performance. This is just a shot against, hey, there's still some faults there. And
there is.
Let's be clear, because it wasn't because of the Bengals' defense that they turned that ball over as many times as they did. It wasn't the defense.
Right.
It was all on them. And once again, I'm not trying to say everybody has to be flawless, but right now, the Lions, to me, are up there as almost the most flawless team that we got. If they can get a couple of those holes filled up, I believe that the Lions, definitely take the Super Bowl this year.
I think the Lions you remember I said week five is a good week for teams to figure out what their strengths and weaknesses are. I stand on that, and I really think that's what this game boiled down to. The Bengals, they don't have things to work on because they don't have a legitimate shot right now. I'm not trying to knock Jake Browning entirely, but he's a backup.
That's exactly what you're doing, sir. Let's not downplay it. You're bashing him just a tad.
But I'm not trying to bash him like, oh, he's a terrible quarterback. He's a backup. His job is to fill in and be able to produce what would be considered a respectable enough performance to keep the team there. Jamar, he did enough if he would have avoided the turnovers. Let's be clear. If he wouldn't have threw three interceptions, the momentum, the fact that it would have kept their offense on the field, potential scoring drives that didn't result in it resulted in nothing. Potentially, it doesn't even matter if the Lions scored off of them or not. That's three touchdowns that potentially, or even field goals, which would have still not been quite enough. But the potential of that is they only lost by 13. That's three interceptions. They could have won if they hadn't got those interceptions. I mean, granted, the scores could have been entirely different and they still could have lost, but Cincinnati has an issue right now at their quarterback position, and they're not going to go and find another quarterback because they're waiting for the return of Joe Burrow. However, they're going to have to figure out something. The rushing game right now is not doing spectacularly. They ran the ball eight times with Brown for 27 yards. P. Ryan ran four times for 27. Literally 85 yards of total rushing.
That's because that O-line is abysmal.
It is. It absolutely is, which is another reason we're having the issue with Joe Burrow that we have.
That O-line is crazy bad.
That O-line is why they wouldn't have made it to the Super Bowl and why they definitely, if they did, wouldn't have won it. I don't believe they were capable of winning it. Just like last year with the Chiefs, that O-line was too much of a problem and cost them a Super Bowl. So I stand on business when I say that the Bengals are not capable of winning a Super Bowl right now, even if they have the magnificent Joey Burrow out there. But this is the game that you look at and you can see the score and you think, okay, you know, this is a good game. And then you look at your score line and you say, again, it is not. 21 points in the fourth quarter is only relevant if they could have stopped the 9 points from the Lions and could have at least avoided one of the three interceptions. So the Detroit Lions figured out what they needed to do, I'm sure. And I have a feeling week six, because I don't believe they go into a bye week next week. I'm have to look on that. But they know when their next game comes what they need to continue to work on. Joe Burrow is clean. They've got a really good running back duo. They've got a great receiving core. Honestly, their defense is one of the best. I do agree with you that the Lions right now look like they could be potentially one of the best contenders in the NFC for making it to the Super Bowl. I know we got a lot of games left here. I know we're kind of running out of time. So I got one more game I want to touch on. I know we'll have another episode coming out soon enough. We have one more game happening tonight with the Chiefs and the Jags. So there's one other game I really wanted to touch on, if you're good with that, sir.
I'm definitely good. There's really nothing to touch on with the rest of these games. Oh, hold on. Wait. Before we move into your last game. Big shout out to my boy Cam Ward. He finally got his first dub. I love to see it. I love to see it. I don't want to get into the game. I want to get into the Titans getting their first win.
I like it. We should definitely talk about that on the next episode because I do have some.
Yeah, because how they got their first win is also something to be talked about. But you're right. Next episode, sir. Let's get into your game.
The last one I want to talk about is the game that I think tells a different story for how week five went for not just these two teams, but how things really went. This is a dogfight of a game, and this is why I say games are won in the second half. I am talking about freaking Sunday Night Football, sir. I'm talking about the Buffalo Bills and the New England Patriots.
Patriots. I thought you were talking about the Buccaneers and the Seahawks.
No, sir. I have many things to say about that game, but no, this game right here, week five, finding out what's working and what's not working, and the Bills decided to say, we're going to find out what isn't working. And this is why games are won in the second half. I'm going to read off the score total, the score lines for the quarters. We're going to start with New England from quarter one to quarter four, 3-3, 7-10. For the Bills, 0-3, 7-10. The game is won in the second half. The Patriots shouldn't have been able to do this, but they came out, they found out what they needed to do. And Drake May, while he didn't throw a single touchdown, he somehow orchestrated an offensive production that I am absolutely befuddled with.
273 with no touchdowns thrown is crazy.
Four sacks.
Insanity.
Dude, they ran the ball with no... Stevenson had himself a game. 7 rushes, 14 yards, and 2 touchdowns. They did not have a single player who got 25 yards. They ran the ball 22 times for 71 yards and 2 touchdowns. Sir, they did not do anything on offense. They did not do anything on defense that was worth anything. Somehow, they beat the Bills. These games are ugly and they are mean. I love divisional games, and they kept that New England actually outscored them the entire game because they had that 3 points that the Bills didn't get anything in the first quarter that they paced them the rest of the way, answer for answer. Sir, this game was not about the Patriots finding a way to dominate the Bills. This was a Patriots team who went on the road, went to Buffalo, and executed a game plan that I don't think, if they came in with this, I don't know what, I don't know. But Buffalo, sir, Josh Allen, 2 touchdowns. He did throw an interception. He ran the ball 9 times, 53 yards. Kincaid got himself 108 yards on 6 catches. But sir, I don't know what I'm looking at here. He threw one pick, but that shouldn't necessarily matter. He did have a fumble, but they ran the ball. Not a lot, but they ran.
I'll tell you what we're looking at here. If you're that confused, First off, they ran the ball, but Josh Allen had 53 yards and was the most rushing yards on that team.
Yep.
That's a problem. And then let's get into the fact that Dalton Kincaid is a tight end. And he had 108 yards. That's a problem.
But no tutties.
No tutties. This is okay. We're talking about a team that honestly, it's scattered.
Very
great team. Let's be clear. If they actually put all the puzzle pieces together, nobody's stopping them. But right now, we have a jigsaw puzzle of a team. Basically, we got Pangea. You know how you learned about Pangea in school?
Yep.
How the earth formed up. We literally have Pangea right now. We need to get them into the earth. That round circle that we call our home. Because once they get that, I promise you, there's nobody stopping them. Josh Allen is one of the best quarterbacks in the league right now. At least top three. James Cook, top three running backs. Let's see. Khalil Shakir, in my top three of wide receivers. Dalton Kincaid, my top three of tight ends. So we're talking about an offense and a defense, because I didn't even get into the defensive side of things. An offense and a defense that is immaculate. It's just scattered brain. Like, there is no true number one, like you've always said. There is no true number one in any position. There's nobody that's actually going through the motions and getting what they need. And then trying to target the main person. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
So right now, that's exactly what we're looking at. And that's exactly why they almost dropped to the Dolphins. They've really scraped by the skin of their teeth with these wins. So I kind of figured that the Bills were going to lose this game. But it's the Patriots. Who's going to take the Patriots?
It's a divisional game. I've learned you always got to take a chance on those, but...
Anybody that took that chance, I commend you, because you're a better gambler than me. I was not, like, as confident as I was, I was like, you know what? The Bills might just drop this game. They've really been, you know, skating as I'm sitting here talking to myself, getting my bets together. But I couldn't convince myself to do it. So if you are one of those gamblers that convinced yourself to put any type of money on the Patriots to win,
good for
you. You are a beast. I promise you.
And on that note, folks, we are out of time. I appreciate y'all tuning in. We have more to talk about. We will be doing another episode, so you guys will get to hear our thoughts and opinions on the games like the Seahawks and the Bucks. But that is all for tonight. You have any final thoughts on anything, Will?
No, sir. I don't have anything. We can get into it in the next episode. Because there's still a lot to talk about baseball-wise, you know.
Absolutely.
We didn't go into it this episode, but we will definitely get into it next episode, you guys.
Absolutely. All right. Well, on that note, everybody, thank you for tuning in. See y'all next time.
Peace.